Getting you ready for the day in sports betting. This is Point Spread Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of Point Spread Sunday here from the South Point Hotel and Casino. I'm Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard. Pritch, it is time. We've been talking about it in the first hour. We were teasing it on multiple times, but it's time to give our picks in week three of the National Football League. Pritch, I'm going to give you the honors of going first because I have way too many, so we're going to have to save that for last. Like I said, volume shooter, but you're a little more selective, so why don't you share with the folks who you like here today in the Sunday slate?
I am selective, Femi. I think it's early on to kind of pump the brakes a little bit at times, even though I get excited about the season.
All gas, no brakes.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, I'm the governor on at this point with my bets. So here we go with the Patriots. I did this earlier in the week. I wasn't anticipating this line moving, to be honest with you, but since we've done the program this morning and the line obviously has shifted a little bit, but I took the Patriots -3. Now, it's not because of home field. It's more because of the Saints being inconsistent offensively, and I think they're going through some stuff there between what they want to be and who they have and who they can become with who they have, basically available for weapons there with Jameis Winston. And then also, you know, you look at that defense with the injuries. They are a vaunted defense. They are a playoff caliber defense. Now, Latimer coming back is going to help. But on the other side with Mac Jones and what he presents from an efficiency standpoint, from a guy that has the confidence of the coaching staff, I mean, it's a complicated offense that they run up there, and he's grasped that. And now, is he taken off and running with it? No, not yet. He's a rookie. But they have a solid running game if Trent Brown can go.
Yep.
You know, that's the key there, too. But then also, you know, Jameis Winston unsettled offensively right now on the road again in terms of a game, not so much because they're uprooted. I just think it's an opportunity there for the Patriots. So I grabbed the three early on, and then I had some teasers there because I just didn't trust the situations with the quarterbacks. So we talked about this before, you know, the Falcons and the Giants. I don't trust either situation, so I teased up the Falcons as well as the Broncos.
Yeah, the former Pritch team teaser.
Former team teaser. There, I know. I was going to do a 3-1, three-team, three-way with the Seahawks, but I didn't do that because that line has moved in favor of the Seahawks. We'll get to that, too. But, yeah, that's my card. Those are my tickets going into this this weekend.
Yeah, so you have the Chiefs and Cardinals. So the Chiefs down to 1, Cardinals down to 1.5, and then, of course, the Broncos down to 44.5, and the Falcons up to 8.5, as well as the Patriots -3 out there in Foxborough. So, folks, I hope you have the pen and paper ready because here comes the buffet.
Did I give you enough time?
Yeah, I got enough time. I'm looking at the clock. I see enough time here.
All right.
As I unveil my 10 selections here in week 3 of the NFL. We are in lockstep in Foxborough, because I'm on Patriots -3. Like you said, I just see this as being as a game as it's going to be lower scoring. Possessions are going to be so valuable. I see on one side you have a quarterback who has a propensity to turn the ball over, and on the other side, a quarterback who's pretty safe with the football. Give me the quarterback who's safe with the football, Mac Jones, even though he's the rookie. Mm-hmm. Crazy to say that out loud, but I think Bill Belichick does just enough to get Jameis Winston to make mistakes. I like Patriots -3. I said the Falcons had the best chance of the 0-2 ATS teams to cover. I got them on my card. Falcons +3. I laid out the points in the last segment there, but it's Matt Ryan against Daniel Jones. If you're going to give me three, I'm going to take Matt Ryan and the 3 points there with the Atlanta Falcons. Steelers -3. Now, I made this bet earlier in the week when it was looking like TJ Watt could play. He's been ruled out. I still like it, though, even though he's out, because this Bengals team, that offensive line has so many issues, and I get the Steelers are banged up front, but that Bengals offensive line hasn't shown or proved that they can block anybody. Mm-hmm. And you've given me Pittsburgh at home in a spot where it's a bounce back spot after losing outright to the Raiders last week. I like the Steelers to get back on track. I think Ben kind of, we know him to sandbag a little bit there. The pec injury, it's something, but I don't think it hampers him for being able to have some success on the offensive side of the ball there. Chiefs -6.5. I got that earlier in the week at -120 juice. Important to point that out. But I like this Chiefs team. I just think this is a buy low spot on Kansas City. Nobody really is rushing to back this team as they're 2-11 against the spread in their last 13 games. But you're giving me Patrick Mahomes less than a touchdown at home against an AFC West opponent. I know there's familiarity, but Andy Reid in September is amazing against the spread. So I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs as well in this game. in the game in Las Vegas. I'm going with the Miami Dolphins plus 4.5. This is just too much of an overreaction to what we've seen from the Raiders thus far. They were underdogs in week one, underdogs in week two, win both games outright. We all talked about it last week, how it was such a difficult travel spot for them. Short week, going to the East Coast, early time window, but they won the game outright. Mm-hmm. So now I think the market has adjusted too much in favor of the Las Vegas Raiders. I think that line is actually down to 3.5 now, I'm seeing at the odds boards, even some places at a 3. So if you like the Miami Dolphins, grab it now, because that one I think is probably going to close juice 3.5 or maybe even 3 against the Las Vegas Raiders. Plus, I get it that Tua Tagovailoa is injured, but I don't think there's much of a drop-off to Jacoby Brissett. And now that Brissett is not being thrust into that role, he's had a week of practice. Will Fuller is going to make his debut for this Miami Dolphins team. I think the Dolphins are able to stay within that number. I think the Dolphins are actually live to win that game. We'll get to that in just a moment. The game of the day, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Los Angeles Rams. Now, I got Bucs money line last Sunday. Right. When the lines came out, I was like, you're giving me plus money with Tom Brady. I'm taking plus money with Tom Brady. Bucs money line. I know they're without JPP. I know they're without Antonio Brown, but that team is so loaded, so much depth. And also, I'm just a little bit lower on this Rams team than the market is. I bet the Colts last week. That was one of my two winners last week on the line, because I just think this Rams team, they're good, but I don't think they're great. And I think today, after the game, we're going to find out that they're punching up in another weight class. And this Bucs team is really one of the true contenders out there. And the Rams have a little bit of work to do if they want to get into that classification there. Then also the Sunday night game, give me the 49ers minus 3. I get it. Rodgers is getting points in a primetime game, but he's getting points for a reason.
Sure.
They're banged up on the offensive line. Their defense can't stop the run. Detroit Lions, I don't know why they stopped running the ball last Monday night. They probably could have covered that number of 11.5 there at Lambeau Field. But this Packers defense didn't really give me too much to trust, at least from what I saw in Monday night's game. And the offense kind of struggled a little bit at times, but they were able to blow the game open once kind of Detroit started to turn the ball over. I think Kyle Shanahan is going to run the ball some more. And until the Packers can prove that they can stop it, I don't see how they're able to get off the field here in that game. Then also have a play in the Monday night football game. Eagles, give me the 3.5 points there. This is just a game that I think is a toss-up game. It's two evenly matched teams. I'd say Dallas is a little bit better, but I would say it just feels like a field goal game. Dallas is so banged up on the defensive line, whether it be injuries or COVID list. I know the Eagles are without Jordan Mailata, their left tackle. He's been ruled out. It'll be Andre Dillard, their first-round pick, actually now playing in that one. So that scares me a little bit there, but I don't think Dallas's defense has shown enough. Now, I know they were opportunistic against the Chargers last week, but I still haven't seen enough for them to feel confident in laying more than a field goal, even if it is against the Eagles team that looked a little pedestrian at times last week against the San Francisco 49ers on offense. But the 49ers have a better defense than the Dallas Cowboys, so I'm not as concerned. My teaser of the day, Ravens down to 1.5, Vikings up to plus 8. Seahawks play close games.
Yes.
Pete Carroll says you can't win the game until the fourth quarter. That'll be a one-score game either way. I think the Seahawks win, but I see that being maybe a Seahawks victory by 3 or so. So I'll take the Vikings if I can get them over a touchdown like I did in this teaser. Then also a money line parlay. I'm not a big parlay bettor. In fact, this is my first NFL parlay, and I think in about 2 years.
Okay.
But I think these dogs can be frisky today. Washington football team plus 300. Chicago Bears plus 290. I am in the Justin Fields camp. We have been waiting for him to play. He's going to make his first start here against the Cleveland Browns. We'll get to that game more here later on in the hour. But I like Chicago plus 290 there against the Cleveland Browns. And also, I mentioned the Dolphins, all the points that I laid out. Give me that plus 175. That's a 50-50 coin flip game, I think, between the Dolphins and the Raiders. So that parlay, football team, Bears, Dolphins, pays out just under 42-1. So just don't go crazy with it. Just a little splash,
sure.
Maybe a little bit of a slurpy money that you want to put on there, and maybe you can get a nice little payday. We'll see how that one turns out. If I get those two, Washington and Chicago, then it could be a hedge situation later on in that second window later on this afternoon. But a lot on the menu for me, as you can see. I like to eat come NFL
just a,
Sunday.
Yeah, just a tad. Yeah, that's just a tad. Yeah, that's a buffet plate right there,
that
for
is.
Sure, right?
So, excess amount of sides.
there's a buffet plate growing up here. One of the hotels, resorts, the Circus, they had the buffet plate. And so they had buffet plates, which was a normal size. And then they would show, this was when I was a kid, they would show this massive plate for the Circus buffet. That's what you have right there with that card. Like, you're in everybody's camp, by the way. Not just the Moneyline camp, but the Bears, Justin Fields. You're in everybody's camp today.
I really am. I was looking at the list of games. I was like, gosh, I'm like, I pretty much have only two that I'm not involved with here. But we'll see how it plays out. Obviously, like I mentioned at the top, volume shooter.
Sure.
I like to shoot a lot early on in the season. Now I scale back later on once I grow for respect for the market, once we all kind of figure out who's good, who's bad. But
You do have good numbers, though.
I tried to get the best of the number. I know some of those has kind of bounced back against me. The New England one, like you mentioned, we obviously, if we had known, we would have bet it today versus earlier in the week there.
Right.
Also, Pittsburgh, I wish I had waited on the Watt news. It looked like he was going to play. He was limited all week, but they said the door or the window was open a little bit, and he said how much open? Well, it's open, cracked open, or it could be wide open, but it's open. Apparently, it's closed
for this
week as he's not playing there. Was there a game that almost made your card that you just kind of hung back on?
The Seattle Seahawks and the Vikings. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. I think Seattle's just that possession type game, right in the fourth quarter. Now it's ticking up. I think Seattle's laying two now, but I like your teaser situation with the Vikings plus eight right there. So I was waiting on that one. I'll probably add that one after the show, though.
There we go. Always be adding. These markets fluctuate, and as we progress throughout this morning, obviously the lines will be fluctuating as well as we learn more of the information of the inactives, who's in, who's out. That, of course, is very vital information when you are betting in the National Football League. But you mentioned the Vikings and the Seahawks. That's one of four afternoon games here on today's slate. We'll break them down here on the other side of this commercial break. You are watching Point Spread Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Point Spread Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Point Spread Sunday here from the South Point Hotel and Casino. Femi and Bebefe, Mike Pritchard, we're having fun here.
Yes.
Show's flying by. Week number three in the National Football League. And let's break down these afternoon games. The biggest game of the day, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Los Angeles Rams. We're actually seeing some line movement. That game at Circa and Westgate is down to a pick'em. Mm-hmm. Now, this line was 1.5 for much of the week here. It opened, Rams were favored by 1.5 on last Sunday. And then quickly that Bucks money came in there from respected and public bettors. Now it's now down to Rams pick. South Point, you can still get the Bucks minus one. DraftKings has the Bucks minus 1.5 still. Total still sitting at 55.5, but a little mind movement. Some LA money coming in here as folks get close to kickoff here later on. 125, this game underway, Brady and the Bucks against Stafford and the Rams.
You know, it's incredible, Femi, to think about the Tom Brady effect. Like, they were staggering a little bit last year. And then they had the bye week and then iron everything out. And no longer staggering, and they're standing upright and throwing blows right now. And the score over 30 points for nine straight games is incredible.
That's really impressive.
It really is impressive. And they've drafted well, too. And Devin White, they've acquired players through free agency, and they fit in. But it's the glue, though. The glue is Tom Brady and that culture. And I don't care what you say about any other situation in the National Football League in history. I have never seen anything like this or remember anybody talking about something like this effect. And now they take it on the road. And so we'll find out what the Rams are about, though. I mean, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are at a point where everybody is going to give them their best shot. And so if you look at last week's game against the Colts for the Rams, maybe they're looking ahead.
Yeah.
You know, let's go back home and take care of business against Tom Brady, because everybody's going to be focused on that game. So we're going to find out a lot about the Rams. They didn't play their starters through in preseason. Stafford has settled in. They're lighting up the scoreboard at times. And then defensively still have Aaron Donald and guys like that on that side of the ball. So this is the matchup everybody wanted to see for a long time, and we haven't, not surprised at all about the line at this point.
Yeah, this game, it feels like it's such a Rams litmus test that it's like you mentioned that they might have been looking ahead in Indianapolis last week to saying, all right, let's get home and play this Tampa Bay team, because Tampa is who you're judging yourself against. It's these guys won the Super Bowl a year ago. They haven't lost since that Chiefs game before the bye week. So this Rams team, I'm sure you're going to get a focused effort. It's going to be the kitchen sink effort, almost like it's a desperate team, even though they are 2-0, just because they want to be where the Bucs were last year. They have all the expectations. I believe 14-1 to win the Super Bowl at the start of the season there. It's it, is it almost like they put too much pressure on themselves in this game? Because I get it. The Rams, they're at home. To most people, it feels like a pick'em game. But to me, I just don't see this team there. And I can see them making this a bigger deal than what it actually is. And the Bucs being able to come in, no pressure. We're Super Bowl champs. This game is a September game. Let's go through, go out there and execute like the football teams like to say there, and go out there and they might stun this team early on because the Rams have made this into something that's so much bigger than it actually is. It's still a week three game in the NFL.
It is, but it is a big game because of the people involved, though, Femi. Like, if we had defensive-minded head coaches in this one, then everything you said I think would be true. Hey, it's just another game on the schedule. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure we execute and get better. You know, those kind of cliches, right? But you have McVay and you have B.A., Bruce Arians on the other side. Those guys want to light up the scoreboard in terms of the ego. And then also they want to see their offenses with their quarterbacks now. Tom Brady, Tampa Bay, now the guy that McVay wanted, Matthew Stafford, sure. So I go back several years ago when we had the Rams and the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes and Goff. That was a shootout.
That Monday Night Football
game. Right, that was a shootout. So I don't think this one's going to be any different in terms of the attitude. Now the players are going to decide it if it's going to be a shootout or not. But we'll see. I think when you look at the secondary too for Tampa Bay, and if you're McVay, you want to attack that. You figure you can hold up front with your offensive line and then attack that. And then on the other side, if you're Tom Brady, you got to be precise, probably short passes because of Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd. I mean, you got some guys that can get after him and make him uncomfortable. So it sounds like, and it presents itself as one of those type of games. I hope it plays out that way. But, you know, from a betting perspective, you look at this number, and it makes all the sense in the world. It really does. You're lucky to get that plus money situation right there with the Bucks.
And it might be my bias thinking that, they're going to make this into a bigger deal because obviously my pockets will be rooting for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this game. Mm-hmm. It's a game that even if I had nothing on it, it's so intriguing just because I'm lower on the Rams. I know some prospective people are lower on the Rams than what the market is saying, but it's such a good test for this Los Angeles Rams team to kind of just take it as a data point. Even if you have nothing involved in it, take it as a data point. See what the ceiling is for this Rams team. Ultimately, if they play the Bucs close, if they beat them, then they're probably going to be right there neck and neck with Tampa Bay in the market because they'll have that game up on them in the tiebreaker. And they'd have the inside track on that number one seed in the NFC. So definitely take a close look at this game. I'm sure so many people will be doing that total 55.5. If we go over that one, baby, 8 touchdowns worth, that could be a fun one.
Sure.
So player props, fantasy people, that is definitely the game for you indeed out there in Los Angeles at that beautiful SoFi Stadium there. The Denver Broncos and the New York Jets. I know we touched on this game earlier, but I want to touch on the total because that line has come down. It was 11.5 earlier this week. Now it's down to 10, but the total has continued to come down as well. Opened 43, now at 41.5, pretty much across the board. DraftKings has 42. That's such a low total. I understand it, but as we saw last Thursday between the football team and the Giants, all it takes is just a couple quick TD drives and you're behind the eight ball if you bet that game under. Do you maybe play this game as a contrarian over based on especially what we saw offensively from Denver with Teddy Bridgewater? They've been efficient, 300 yards passing last week, 3 TDs. They can move the ball pretty well. Do you maybe play contrarian over, or are you just so out on this Jets offense entirely?
Well, I'm out on the Jets offense, but then the Broncos in their first two games slow out the gates, though. Like, a lot of their production came in the second half. When you think about the Giants and you also think about the Jacksonville Jaguars, the second half and, evolving that way and certainly being efficient that way. Now, Teddy Bridgewater, he is steady Teddy. He has been for a long time and certainly this year, too. Now, the Broncos at home field advantage with the fans back, maybe they have something in the game plan to kind of excite everybody early on. Who knows? Now, the effect of the altitude for the visiting team takes place in that first quarter. Because you can't breathe and you're on the oxygen. But once your body acclimates and you get used to it a little bit more throughout the game, now you settle in. So with the Jets being the Jets again, same old Jets, Femi, I expect them to have a slow start too, especially with that Denver Broncos defense and the fans and Zach Wilson where he is as a quarterback. But on the other side, if the Broncos are still slow out the gate, then that under is real. I don't know if I would bet it over at this point.
It's interesting you mentioned that first quarter point right there. At Circa, the Broncos are -3 on the first quarter line. That's a lot for a quarter there. And you mentioned how they started slow. Mm-hmm. But if this Jets team is gasping for air, 7-0 is all you need there to cover that game.
Sure.
You get a nice touchdown drive, and the Jets start slow, and you're able to cash that ticket. That's a quick and easy sweat for you as a first quarter bettor there. It's a little risque for me. I like to play full games and halves, but if folks want to play that storyline, they can definitely play that one. First quarter Broncos -3. The game that's going to be taking place not too far from us here out in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium, the Las Vegas Raiders hosting the Miami Dolphins. Raiders now down to 3.5 -105 as the consensus line. This line got up as high as 4.5 earlier this week with the news that Tua Tagovailoa was going to be out. The total continues to go down now at 44, the consensus line. At South Point, it's even 43.5 here. It feels like we're in store for a lower scoring game here. And I'm on Miami money line and with the points there, but I wanted to get your take on this game here and just how you see these two teams, the Raiders being kind of the surprise team in the AFC thus far.
Yeah, they are a surprise team. I think a lot of people were down on the Raiders from a win total standpoint, and certainly Coach Gruden, what he's done in offseason, Mike Mayock maybe under fire because of draft picks of that nature. But they played well. Back-to-back impressive outings against two playoff-caliber teams when you think about Baltimore and Pittsburgh. But now you face a situation, and that's what I'm going to call this one for the Las Vegas Raiders. They have not started 3-0 since 2002.
That was back when they were good.
Right, going to Super Bowls. Right. So I think that's in front of them, and they've been reminded of that. So there's an opportunity for the Raiders to do that. I wonder how important that is to the Raiders as opposed to beating the Dolphins. You know, when you have been historically bad that way as an organization, you know, that kind of filters in there. But I like the other side with the Dolphins in terms of they're going to have Devontae Parker, Jalen Waddle, and Fuller together. And we'll see what that looks like with a capable quarterback and Brissett.
Full week of preparation for Jacoby Brissett after being thrust into that role last week when Tua got hurt in the second series. I spoke with Chris Andrews on Friday on My Guys in the Desert. He said 9-1 ticket count in favor of the Las Vegas Raiders in this game. And that line keeps coming down.
Wow.
Do with that information what you will. It's interesting to note.
It is.
Interesting stuff to note there, but the Raiders obviously going to get a lot of public support, and if they win, it could be a Golden Knights situation here for the Raiders if they keep making money for this hometown crowd out here in the desert here. But don't go away, because on the other side, we're talking prime time games. Green Bay Packers at the San Francisco 49ers. Also the Monday night game, Philadelphia Eagles visiting the Dallas Cowboys. We'll break them down here on Point Spread Sunday. You're watching VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Point Spread Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. This new feature gives you insight on where the money and bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. Data is available for Moneyline, over-under, and against the spread bets. Betting splits are another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter bettor year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It is Point Spread Sunday from the South Point Hotel and Casino. Femi Ebebefe, Mike Pritchard coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. And we got some primetime showdowns and one on Sunday Night Football that could be an NFC title game preview. Mm-hmm. A couple contenders, Green Bay Packers visiting the San Francisco 49ers. Packers are 3-point underdogs total at 50.5. Now that total has been one that a lot of respected bettors have hit the over. I believe it opened at 48. They hit 48.5, 49, 49.5. Now we're sitting at 50.5 in this kickoff at 5:20. But we mentioned it earlier in the first hour. Packers banged up on the offensive line. Elgton Jenkins, he's going to be ruled out. He was the guy that was replacing David Bakhtiari, who's already on the PUP list. They're all pro left tackle there. The 49ers, to me, offensively, last week, obviously unimpressive against the Eagles, but the Eagles are a difficult defense. How do you see them going up against this Packers defense that can be had, ultimately, from what we've seen so far this season?
Yeah, you know, they've have some questions they need answered. You know, Smith, can it get pressure? He's out, I believe.
Darius Smith is out. Yeah, on IR.
On IR. So, you know, where is that production going to come from? And then they had a new defensive coordinator that they're still working through. So this is the product of all these changes for an organization in offseason, and then now having questions. Is it working? And I think everybody's going to have those questions to some extent. But you're the Packers. You go back-to-back seasons, 13-3, but yet you're still tinkering. You're not tinkering enough if you're Aaron Rodgers. And then on the defense, you're tinkering with the defense. And so that's unsettling, I think, in new players too. And so the settling effect, and that's why I've been hesitant about having the volume of plays there. You would think the advantages would go to the 49ers too, yep, defensively with the front. But then their secondary is challenged, though, with injuries and players that they no longer have from a leadership standpoint. Richard Sherman was a tremendous presence back there. So was Robert Saleh. Now he's moved on. So they got a new coordinator. There's so many different parts or moving parts for me in this one. Then I settle in on the quarterback situation. Okay, Aaron Rodgers. Has he prepared himself well enough now to not look like he's in preseason? Yeah. Because he's still missing with timing throws, and he's still overthrowing players on the field on game day. And that's bothering him. You can tell it's bothering him. So, but it's Aaron Rodgers. He's going to fix that. He's going to correct that. And probably on this stage, if I'm betting this one, I'm betting that he corrects that.
Yeah, a lot of money and support has come in on the Green Bay Packers. 79% of the tickets, 73% of the money. Because the logic, I understand it. You get Aaron Rodgers, the reigning MVP. You're giving me points. It makes sense. It adds up. 1 + 1 = 2.
Sure.
But sometimes as bettors, we have to look further into the equation.
Right.
When you look at the injuries on the offensive line, and also the 49ers, they're expected to get back cornerback Emmanuel Mosley. He's missed the first two games, so that at least should help their secondary to some degree. Now, he's not an impact player like Stephon Gilmore or Marshawn Lattimore, sure, but he's a body who has starting experience on a secondary that quite frankly needs it after Jason Verrett went out. They're starting Josh Norman. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not 2015, so that's never a good sign when you're starting Josh Norman in 2021 in your secondary. But Eric Armstead, he was DNP Wednesday and Thursday, was limited on Friday with an adductor injury. Expected to play, but that's another one to monitor later on in this evening and afternoon when the inactives come out there. But this 49ers team, it feels like a matchup thing to me, at least, especially what we saw 2 years ago,
sure,
in the Sunday Night Football game, then again in the NFC title game. They just destroyed the Packers both games, to where I'm like, God, the Packers just might not, from an X's nose standpoint, be able to keep up with this 49ers team. I know they won last year, but that was a Niners team,
right,
starting Nick Mullins, and they were decimated by COVID. So I'm curious to see how the Packers respond, and if they get down early, it could be, once again, here we go again, out in California, getting blown out. You know, next week we got to do the RELAX press conference again, relax and all that stuff. It could be an in-game spot to kind of see how these teams play. I feel like the first quarter is going to tell us a lot about how this full game is going
to
play out.
That's not bad to think about from an in-game perspective, too, because of the stage. And typically, big-time quarterbacks rise to the occasion on a big stage. And I think Aaron Rodgers, what you said is so true. When you get dismantled by the 49ers, it leads to the fact that Aaron Rodgers wants more parts.
Yeah.
Like, this is why we're getting crushed right now, because we don't have enough parts.
And, well, we'll just draft a quarterback for you.
Right. I know. There we go. We'll trade up and draft your replacement.
Yeah.
That's how we fix it, right? But Aaron Rodgers, but then Garoppolo on the other side, too, what I said in hour one, you look across the field and, you know, during the week of practice. Now, game time, it's not going to take effect, but during the week, you're thinking, okay, Aaron Rodgers, they tried to trade for him. They wanted him anyway. That didn't happen. So they still go up to 3 and they draft a quarterback to replace me at some point.
Yeah.
So I'm on borrowed time here on a big stage. And that can be a motivating factor, depending on Garoppolo, what his makeup is. And then also, you know, Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur, that dynamic. We talked about offensive-minded head coaches and the egos that they have with play calling. We have LaFleur, who wants to call plays on this big stage, and Kyle Shanahan, he's the best play caller in the National Football League. He's going to have something, whether it's Lance, a package with both quarterbacks, but they're going to be dynamic running the football, and that's something that the Packers are going to have to stop.
Yeah, I am on 49ers -3 in that game. I understand why there's Packer support. There was Packer support at 4.5 and 4 when that line was higher, which I get it. You're getting more than a field goal with Rodgers,
right?
Even 3.5 there. So I understand the thought process, but I like San Francisco. In the Monday night game, the Dallas Cowboys, 3.5-point favorites, but 3.5 even money is the consensus line, a total of 51.5. It's an NFC East game. We talked about the Cowboys making their home opener debut in week number 3 here. the Eagles, I thought they could have covered against San Francisco last week. They had the red zone mishaps, but they outgained the 49ers. Mm-hmm. Their defense looks really strong. Now they lose Brandon Graham to an Achilles injury. They'll also be without Jordan Mailata with dealing with a knee injury. Andre Dillard will be the left tackle there. But Dallas has a myriad of COVID issues and injuries on the defensive line. And even that linebacker, Keanu Neal, he'll be out after testing positive for COVID. What do you make of this game between the Cowboys and Eagles? To me, it feels like a toss-up, which is why I grabbed the points with Philadelphia. But line sitting at 3.5, total of 51.5.
Yeah, you know, familiar foes, again, divisional situation. And so I start there with the familiarity on both sides. Now you got new parts in terms of a new defensive coordinator on both ends. And this is intriguing to me because for the Eagles and the personnel that they have, they've started okay, you know, holding the 49ers in check for a pretty good amount of that game and then destroying whatever the Falcons was trying to do in that first one. But on the road with that defense, it gives them a chance. And that's why I like the field goal situation in this one. And then Dallas on the other side, too. Dak Prescott, the offense with injuries, inconsistency, suspensions. Yeah. It just seems out of flux, too, at times. Now, the running game got started for them. That helped them against the Chargers. But Dak Prescott, without all of his weapons, how does he adjust to that too against this Eagles defense? I think that's going to be an issue in this matchup. And so on the other side too, the Eagles are so young. They're certainly dynamic too to give problems to that Dallas defense.
And their coach is not backing down either. We're wearing the beat Dallas shirts during the week there. So adding a little bit of gasoline to this fire of an NFC East rivalry out there in Arlington on Monday night. Amari Cooper, important to note, he's going to be playing. He says he's good to go. He's dealing with a rib injury. I'm excited to see this Dallas offense when they finally get all the pieces together.
Right.
If that happens, we'll find out later on this season.
So is Ertz? I know he's coming back from COVID.
Ertz is back.
Yeah.
Ertz is back in there. So I'm glad you pointed that out. Important to note that one. So Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, that tight end tandem for the Eagles.
Right.
They'll be locked and loaded, ready to go for Philadelphia. One more game while we have a little bit of time. We touched on it earlier. It's an early slate game. Indianapolis Colts, Tennessee Titans. Carson Wentz will play despite the two ankle injuries that he suffered against the Los Angeles Rams last week. DNP Thursday and Wednesday was limited yesterday, but expected to play. Now, Braden Smith, his right tackle, he's been ruled out for a second straight game, so he will be without his right tackle there. Jordan Glasgow, the linebacker, was ruled out with a concussion. But the Tennessee Titans, it'll be interesting. Their injury report, linebacker pass rusher Bud Dupree, DNP limited, but on Friday, DNP with the knee. So he's questionable, a game-time decision out there for the Titans.
Wow.
Caleb Farley ruled out. Anthony Firkser, the tight end, also ruled out as well. But are you interested in this? I see there's been money coming in on the Colts here.
Right.
We got about 45 seconds. But are you interested in this Colts team at 4.5? To me, there's so much uncertainty with the Wentz injury. I don't even know where to start with this game.
Well, that moves because, okay, is he's playing.
Yep.
And so that line has moved. And then the Titans defense challenged big time. Now, on the other side, though, with the Colts, that offensive line and Wentz, it's not a good match because he's been hit repeatedly.
Yeah.
And he's a high-risk player. How are they going to solve that with further injuries to that offensive line against another professional football team? I get it, the Tennessee Titans with injuries of their own right, but it's crazy to think about that he's going to have a lot of success in this one.
I'm seeing the consensus line now 5. Caesars and South Point have 5.5, 4.5 over at Circa and Westgate in this game. Total sitting at 47. Show is flowing by, Pritch. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. Final segment here, Point Spread Sunday. We'll take one last look at the early slate here in week number 3 in the National Football League. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Point Spread Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game. Plus, full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's the final segment here on Point Spread Sunday. Femi Abebefe, Mike Pritchard coming to you from the South Point Hotel and Casino. And Pritch, a couple games we haven't got a chance to touch on. One out in Cleveland. That's a really interesting game that I'll have my eyes on for sure. I don't have any bets on this one, but I just want to watch it just to gather the data point. But Justin Fields making his first start for the Chicago Bears. Bears 7.5-point underdogs with a total of 44.5. What do you? It's a rookie quarterback. It feels surprisingly the fourth rookie quarterback out of this draft class after Lawrence, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, and on Thursday night it was Davis Mills who got the start. So yeah, so Fields actually number five in this draft class to get the start here in 2021. But a lot of money is coming on Chicago in this game. We've seen the Bears go from a 9-point underdog to now 7.5. There was even sevens in some spots. DraftKings is at 7 right now. So if you like Cleveland, bet them at DraftKings. But it's interesting to see this Bears team get support, and maybe the market being that low on Andy Dalton or maybe that high on Justin Fields in his debut.
Well, it's really crazy to think about this situation. I think the Bears should have started with Justin Fields to begin with.
Agree.
Now, what was the storyline? We're going to play him when he's ready.
Yeah.
Well, injury to Andy Dalton. Now you hope that he's ready.
Exactly. Well, against Aaron Donald, we're scared that he might get hit. Right. Well, here comes Myles Garrett.
Sure. I know. Exactly. So the unexpected has happened to the Bears. Are they ready for it? See, to me, the storyline is not whether Justin Fields is ready. Are the Chicago Bears ready for him, in particular Matt Nagy?
Yeah.
This Chicago Bears offense is 31st in the league in passing offense with 135 yards. That's an indictment on Nagy.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with Justin Fields or Andy Dalton at this point. So I think Justin Fields gives the Bears and Nagy in particular more opportunity to be creative with the running game. And that's what the Bears do well. What do teams do well? What do teams not do very well? And so right now the Bears, they run the football. And Justin Fields, he's not at a point in his career where he's going to be a prolific passer. We know that. And the Browns know that too. So they'll game plan against that. But can the Browns stop a rushing attack that the Bears do very, very well? Now, the Browns, if you think about them and how they're created, they have Pittsburgh, they have Baltimore, they have Cincinnati in their division. So, they're built to stop the run. So then you give them a chance. But then you look at their roster, and they're not really built to stop the run because they have pass rushers.
They've struggled against the run
right,
so far.
Right, and they've struggled against the run. So, that is in the Bears' favor as well. So Odell Beckham Jr. coming back, I know a lot. That's going to make headlines too. But they lose Jarvis Landry, who is, I think, a fabric of that offense. So what is Baker going to do? How is he going to react? They have a great running game themselves in terms of the Browns having a great running game, which is going to be beneficial too. So this one's a tough call for me as well. I think Justin Fields can make enough mistakes to where Cleveland does cover. Mm-hmm. But then that curiosity effect here in play, he's the unknown. You see a lot of optimism coming in for the Bears, though, right now.
Yeah, the Browns injury report earlier this week was looking pretty dismal. Mm-hmm. The center, J.C. Treader, he's questionable. Offensive tackle, Jedrick Wills, questionable as well. Now, I believe both guys will play. Wills said he's ready to go. He was limited on Friday. Treader was limited Friday as well, but still listed as questionable right now. So if they can get their offensive line back, you feel comfortable with Cleveland at least, but the unknown factor. What if Justin Fields is amazing? Is why I put the Browns. I know I misspoke earlier in this segment saying I had nothing on this game. I have the Bears in my money line parlay. I lose track of these things when you're a volume shooter.
You have a full plate. You missed buffet. The beans underneath
exactly.
The
sides on sides salad, with more right. sides even added in. But I think the unknown is why I felt that the Bears' money line was worth a shot, just because he could be spectacular now that he has a week worth of prep. And who knows? This could be a toss-up game that because we don't know how. He could be terrible.
Right.
He could be amazing. One of the two. So I was like, hey, let me just take a shot with that money line play and throw it in there on the basis that he could be what he's made out to be and what he looked like at Ohio State a year ago.
Well, my angle would be, can Nagy allow that to happen? Or will he allow that to happen?
That's a great point.
Yeah. Because Justin Fields, he has the ability to be that. But if coaches are hesitant, or if they're holding him back, or they're trying to gauge in time when he's ready, that gives me pause in terms of maybe the Bears aren't ready for Justin Fields yet.
Yes, Nagy, don't sabotage Fields, okay? I know you love Andy Dalton, but please, just for my bet purposes. The Detroit Lions hosting the Baltimore Ravens, and this is an interesting game to bring up just because of the Ravens situation. Mm-hmm. Ravens right now, 7.5-point favorites total at 50.5. But Baltimore's injury report, now I have to scroll up on my notes here because it is lengthy. I think it took up an entire page on my notes here. But the Ravens, I'll list the names out to you. They're out, these two guys with injury. Ronnie Stanley is out with the ankle. Derek Wolfe is out with a hip and back injury. Now to the COVID guys. Brandon Williams, defensive tackle Justin Madubuike, linebacker Justin Houston, linebacker Jalen Ferguson, all on the reserve COVID list that were placed on that list Friday. So those are five key members of that front seven for Baltimore that we know is excellent against stopping the run. Now out of this game, Pernell McPhee, another member of that front seven, he's dealing with a shoulder injury. He was DNP on Friday, so he's questionable as well. We've seen the total in that game tick up just a bit to 50.5 now because of those Ravens injuries to the defensive side of the ball, but they will be having Marquise Brown, the wide receiver, Hollywood Brown. Deshaun Elliott had a concussion. He was questionable, but he practiced full on Friday. So expectation is that he should play, as will cornerbacks Jimmy Smith and Tavon Young. But this Ravens team, it just feels like this is not their year. Whether it was the injuries before the season started, the injuries once we got underway here, the way that game in Monday night went against the Las Vegas Raiders, and now you get key members on the COVID list. It's an uphill battle every week for this team, it feels like, Pritch.
It is a challenge for him, for sure. But they have Lamar Jackson, even if he's sick or not. I mean, that guy, he's an incredible player, and he's a difference maker. Where the Lions are at right now, I'm curious about, Femi, because Goff, he needs to stop with the turnovers.
Yeah.
You look at the Packers game, they're in it. Yeah, they're breaking down defensively, but they need their quarterback to step up, but he can't step up because he's dropping the football, whether it's a center quarterback exchange or he's trying to deliver a wet football and he can't hold on to it. And, you know, for a new guy in a team that has zero culture right now, that's hard for me to back. You know, if I'm looking at the Lions in any situation, I could have caught 8.5 points with them earlier on in the week, but I chose not to. Even at home, you got veteran players that want out. They want to be traded. Campbell talked about the youth movement, so you know where they're going.
Yeah, Jamie Collins didn't practice all week. He's not going to play because Campbell said, we're trying to trade him.
Exactly.
I appreciate the transparency, sure. But that just seems like kind of an odd situation.
And you have a bunch of former players on that coaching staff.
Yeah.
That emotions run over. They spill over. So it's just not settling right now. And in a quarterback who's not settled, he's clearly uncomfortable, even though I think the Lions, they have the makings of a decent offensive line. They have young playmakers, Hockenson, and they have other playmakers on that roster, too, for getting the receiver's name.
Quintez Cephus?
Yeah, he's decent, right?
Yeah, he makes some plays.
So they have some younger players that you can get excited about, but it's not glued together. It's not there yet. So that's why I can't back the Lions now.
Yeah, it feels like it'll take a little bit of time, but there are a couple trends that say you should back the Lions here. Teams that are 0-2 straight up are 28-12 against the spread against 1-1 teams since 2010. Colts, Lions, and Vikings fall under that category. Also, winless teams, 31-14 ATS in week 3 when underdogs of 3.5 points or more since 2010. Colts, Lions, Jets, and Jaguars fit under that category as well. Those, of course, from Point Spread Weekly, which you should be subscribed to. If you're not, you're doing this whole thing wrong here. But real quick, let's go ahead and run down some of the lists. Get some final thoughts on the Week 3 slate here in the NFL, starting with that Cardinals and Jags game. 7.5 is the consensus line, a total of 51.
Yeah, I'm going to have to fill out my card a little bit more. I'm going to add one more play there to kind of not match you, but maybe catch up a little bit.
Add another side.
Sure.
Love it.
No, I like your teaser right there with the Vikings going up, but I think I'm going to side with the Hawks on the road. It ticked up to 2, I believe, now. Yeah. It was at 1 earlier.
I'm even seeing 2.5 at DraftKings that just moved there with a total at 4.
2.5, so I better get there quick.
Yeah. Someone's listening to you.
Sure. Yeah. You know, Seattle, they gave one away last week. We know the story. But the Vikings, the field goal situation, it kind of favors me to lean towards Seattle and pick them today.
So, yeah, to recap your picks there, you are on Patriots -3, then a couple teasers, Chiefs down to 1, Cardinals down to 1.5 in one teaser. Then you have the former Pritch Pritch team here. Broncos down to 4.5. Falcons up to 8.5. My picks, we can throw it up onto the screen there. It is just a plethora of plays, as we call it here. Patriots -3. Falcons +3. Steelers -3. Chiefs -6.5. Dolphins +4.5. Bucks money line +105. 49ers -3. Eagles +3.5 if you want to get crazy on a Monday. 6-point teaser. Ravens -1.5. Vikings up to 8. And a money line dog parlay. Football team, Bears, Dolphins, pays a little under 42-1. Let's have some fun here in week 3 in the National Football League. But we got a full slate coming up here. And what's coming up after us here on Point Spread Sunday as we wrap things up is the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi, Patrick Maher gets you set. The Inactives, all the info you need to know here in week 3. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.